Well, here we are, 27 days past Pentecost, 86 days to trumpets. We find ourselves in what I refer to as the development gap, the running timeline between Pentecost and trumpets, quite literally the time between our baptism and the return of Christ, since no man, angel, knows the time, not even the Son, only the Father. It says in Matthew 24:36, of the return of Jesus Christ, it literally is the time frame between our baptism and our death. The development gap, is now. For the profession that God has set before us, to become kings and priests, serving under Christ as the leaders and educators during the Christ millennial rule, the time we in the church have long called and referred to as the world tomorrow, the millennium, the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ, dispensing the government of God over the entire earth with the saints, the first fruits, ruling by his side. This is our awesome potential future. We are preparing today for our profession tomorrow. The example set for us by Jesus Christ of being servant leaders. In preparation for this split sermon, I listened to a number of informative and engaging sermons, BT dailies, Beyond Today programs, Bible studies, and read articles relative to my study, all found on ucg.org. An unparalleled resource for education in God's truth. Be sure to dive in and take advantage as we are engaged in the increasing need for our knowledge and our training. And now we have a question before us. What are we doing in our physical today to prepare for our spiritual tomorrow? What are we doing in our physical today for preparing for our spiritual tomorrow? Let's take a look at a set of core aspects for becoming leaders who are supple, sacrificing servants. Explore the concept of the three S's of servant leadership development. The first S, supple. For those of you who are spelling challenged, S-U-P-P-L-E. Not subtle, but supple. It means to be bending readily without breaking or becoming deformed. Pliant. Flexible as a supple bough. And that's not like this. That's like on a tree. Being supple imbues a willingness to change. Change not for the mere sake of change, but change that will help us to get beyond ourselves. Seeing the needs of others and making changes that are uncomfortable, even inconvenient for us, but will help another person. If we are not willing to do this, we cannot be a servant leader. The willow and the oak. There's an old story about the willow tree and the oak tree, each standing at opposite ends of a clearing. The willow could see the oak far away at the end of the clearing, each day tall and strong, and wished that one day, it too would be strong and tall like the oak tree. For each day the willow saw how its limbs drooped, and its leaves hung low, while the oak's limbs stood tall and stretched into the sky. The oak was so regal and commanding of attention. One day, a great storm blew through the valley, and it tossed the willow's limbs to and fro. It lost many leaves in the process, but its limbs remained intact. It held firm in the wind's howling force. When the skies cleared and the light shone, the willow was shocked to see the giant, mighty oak at the end of the field was crashed into destruction. Its mighty limbs were dashed to pieces and its massive trunk collapsed in a twisted mass of destruction. The willow was confused. How could this have happened to the oak? A tending gardener passed by the willow, and the willow asked, "Sir, my good sir, may I ask of you what happened to the oak tree? It was so massive and so strong." The gardener looked across the field at the once mighty oak and replied to the willow, "I see you do not understand, willow." "No, sir, I do not," replied the willow. "Could you explain?" "Yes, willow, I can. You see, the oak had a strength on the outside, but it had a secret, a weakness inside. It could not bend with the strong storms. It fought against the forces that were imbued upon it. Its weaknesses allowed those forces to break it apart. But you, willow, you have strength inside. You may appear weak and frail on the outside, but you are strong inside. You have the power to bend with the force that's applied outside. You don't fight them. You have learned to move with them, to change, and to change quickly, while remaining supple as a willow tree. In that way, your safety has been preserved. You are the strong one, willow. Like the willow, we can become blinded by the true strength and the source of our strength. We can be influenced by outside appearances and fooled by what looks strong. God says to look upon the heart. He looks upon the heart of men to judge. Please turn to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. This is God's instruction to Samuel on what to see when looking for God's anointed. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. In verse 7 states, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Being supple means to have a heart of change. Psalms 51:10, that same David who Samuel was looking for, wrote, "Knowing that he needed change, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David realized he needed to change. In Matthew 19, verse 23 through 26, Christ speaking to the disciples of the rich man passing through that small little needle eye, Christ says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this, that rich man passing through the eye like a camel through the eye of a needle, is impossible for men. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Even us becoming Spirit-led servants. Acts 2, 37 to 38, Peter's addressing the crowd of Jews and explained to them that they were responsible for the death of Christ. It was probably one of the most, he laid it out on the line with no holds barred. He told them from A to Izzard what was going on, why, and that they were the cause. And it says in verse 37, "Now when they," the Jews, "heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to his apostles, brethren, what shall we do?" Their hearts were pricked. They understood something. They understood that they did something really, let's say, stupid. And what did they need to do? Peter said in verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent," which means to change. "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." A servant leader must first be willing to be supple. This path requires a willingness to change, to repent, even when it hurts and is inconvenient. Our second S, sacrifice. It's defined as a surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher and more pressing claim, more valuable. Romans 12, please turn there. Romans 12, we'll read verses 1 and 2. This is Paul speaking to the Roman church on that new life in Christ. Verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, being willing to give up something that's prized for something better, more valuable, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds, changing, repenting, sacrificing what we want to do, so that you may discern. As I said before, that is the first superpower that God gives us. To may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Christ was and is constantly the ultimate sacrifice. Literally, he is also the ultimate example of how to sacrifice for others. Christ gave up the privilege of being a God being. He didn't give up his identity as a Son of God, but he gave up the privileges that come with being a God so that he could become a mortal and live like us and die like us, for all of humanity. The ultimate sacrifice. In so doing, he exampled what is needed to become a true servant leader. To give up, to go beyond for others. And in doing this, Christ showed that even for a God being, it was not about him. It was what his Father wanted. Luke 22:42 states exactly this in Christ's own words. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. Christ knew he had a job to do. He also, by saying this, showed us that we can go to God and ask the hard things, as long as our attitude is right, and first and foremost, as a servant leader, willing to sacrifice, know that God's will is number one. Most of us will never be put in that position. However, we will be called upon on a regular basis in our physical lives to sacrifice for the benefit of others. For some, it may be giving up the pride that you have, maybe even to a subordinate, to turn around and go to that person and say, I was wrong. I am sorry. Forgive me. For others, it may be digging back into that special funny money pile that you wanted to do to buy that new fly rod. That would be Ed and I. Or something, some trip, and you know that somebody needs it. Whether it's a kid to go to camp, somebody needs an operation, somebody just needs rent, somebody just needs gas for the car, or someone needs something on the other side of the world, and you help out. Sacrifice. To go beyond our personal. A sacrifice might mean giving up something on your bucket list. Something you thought you would do, you wanted to do. And you realize, God has a different plan for me, so I'm giving that up. Sacrifice service. For some people, self-sacrifice to serve others is a way of life. Take Dr. Paul Farmer, for instance. He works about 2 months a year in Boston, Massachusetts, where he heads the infectious disease program at the Harvard Medical School and treats patients at Brigham and Women's Hospital. But the rest of the year, he spends most of his time in Haiti, a poverty-ridden country with no affordable health care, treating the disposable people of the world. Why? His faith compels him to help those less fortunate than himself, willing to sacrifice his time and his effort. Farmer's Sacrifice has caught the attention of Pulitzer Prize-winning author Tracy Kidder, who is working on a book about Farmer. Kidder says it's not as though what he's doing is somehow inhuman or superhuman. It is intensely human. When you hang out with Paul, you begin to think that altruism is normal, and that other stuff that we tend to think of as part of the human nature and greed, the selflessness and the meanness, that those are the things that are abnormal. It's just another way of seeing the world tilt around. Willing to sacrifice, being supple, learning to be a servant leader. James 2, please turn there. We'll read verses 14 through 20. Speaking of faith and works, what use is it, verse 14, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing in need of daily food, and one of them says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? I have heard this thrown back into my face and to the face of others who try to say online in the social media world, we'll pray for you. Thoughts and prayers to you. Hugs and kisses. This may well be the greatest irking point for a majority of people who see and feel the horrible things that this world is being thrown through. And yet all they basically see is often met with nothing more than sanctimonious piety, devoid and without action. God's way is trusting God, looking to God, and doing for those in need what we can, prayers and action. And that requires sacrifice. These are the actions of a servant leader. Third S, service. Quote, Christ was a great follower first by learning to follow his Father's direction, his Father's values, and his Father's instruction. Christ shows us the steps necessary toward true servant leadership. Mr. Greg Thomas, in a sermon, The Seven Servant Leadership Qualities of Jesus Christ, given last year on the 22nd of July in Milwaukee. It's available at ucg.org sermons. Please turn to John, the 5th chapter. We'll read verses 19 and 30. This is Jesus dealing with the Jews' castigation of him for healing on the Sabbath. They took him seriously, if you remember the story, to task. Verse 19 of John 5. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. And in verse 30, I can do nothing. Christ is speaking here of my own initiative. as I, Christ, hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not speak my own will, but the will of Him, God the Father, who sent me. An act of servant leadership. First learning to follow. First watching what the leader does. Not all leaders that we are behind do it right. So what do? You see what was done wrong, and you chalk it up in memory to not repeat. You don't blame. You don't castigate. You chalk it up to learn, and you pray about it. Learning to be a servant leader. In Matthew 23, 11, 12, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, denouncing their empty actions and lording it over each other by saying in verse 11, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant." And verse 12, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Just the opposite, is it not, of our society, the way of man. Greatness in God's kingdom is never to be found in position or power. Though we train today to be servant leaders in positions in the kingdom, we do not look to the praise and the opinions of men, but to be servant-like service to others. We see again that one of the greatest hindrances to service and serving servant living is the desire for exaltation, some form of it, to get a pat on the back, to gain a position, praise, prestige, and power. The almighty search for power. Those who take the secular route, so typical found in the world, who exalt themselves will eventually be humbled and lose every opportunity they sought. They not only eventually lose that opportunity, but they will miss out on a position in the kingdom, if not miss out on the kingdom entirely. Not just lose your position, not just become a doorman, not be there. Is service a cornerstone to our life, or do we only wait until it's convenient? Newsflash, service is never convenient. It requires a suppleness to change. It requires the willingness to sacrifice your time. Or do we do it to be noticed? Looking for admiration from others. Do we get upset when our plans are upset? Do we understand that our very calling is about service to others? That's why we're here. Please turn to Matthew 14. Christ is our Savior and ultimate servant. He made time for people in even His most pain-filled moments. Remember on the cross, He turned and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know." Always looking for the other person. In Matthew 14, 6 through 14, we have a very hideous event in which King Herod's birthday was taking place. Driven by lust, alcohol, and stupidity, the man made a promise to his wife's daughter that whatever she wanted, he would grant it to her. And we all, if you remember the story, his wife Herodotus, I think that's her name, Herodias, hated John the Baptist. And she whispered in the ear of her daughter to ask for John's head. It's a time for Herod, who was a despicable king, to have actually stood up and been a man, a servant, and said, no, that's ridiculous. But he didn't. He granted her wish. And John was pulled out of prison and beheaded, and his head brought on a platter to present to the daughter. In verse 11, or verse 12, we read, his disciples, Christ, came and took the body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. This is Jesus' likely cousin, also a man that baptized him. This is like having your local pastor beheaded and somebody come and tell you about it. Maybe your pastor's your brother or your father or whatever. In verse 13, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place to be by himself, to grieve. We read this really simply. It just kind of states it out there. But put your own two feet in the position of what Jesus Christ just heard, and knowing what very soon would be his ending. But when the crowds heard it, heard that Christ was off in a place by himself, they beat a straight line for it. From the towns, they followed on foot. Christ saw this in verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured the sick. Ultimate in service. He was grieving. Honestly, I can barely read that and not. It's moving. Will we do that for each other? If we're going to be servant leaders, that is what we will do. Even in this hour of grieving, when it was certainly not convenient nor pleasant for him, Christ put the needs of the people ahead of his own grief. He, Christ, was and still very much is the greatest servant leader of all time, our model, our brother, our Savior. Supple, sacrificing, service-oriented. So, we have our marching orders, our directive. We are in that zone that I refer to as the development gap. The time between Pentecost and trumpets, between our baptism and Christ's return, in which we know that that equates to our death. The next thing you know, we hope and pray, is being called up into the air with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. From the UCG study paper, God's Purpose for Mankind. We believe God's purpose for mankind is to prepare those whom he calls and who elect through a life of overcoming sin, developing righteous character and growing in grace and knowledge to possess God's kingdom and become kings and priests, leaders and teachers. If you have a problem seeing priest and king in your concept, just think leader and educator, a teacher. All you have to do is, like I said before services, you go to Google search. I don't watch television anymore. I can't bear it. I keep up with what's on the news online. And the first three things I see in the Google search remind me why we don't have TV, why I don't have cable, and why I don't listen to the garbage. Because that's all it is. It also reminds us just how bad it is. And then you're reminded it's going to get better. Become kings and priests, reigning with Christ at his return. We believe that the reason for mankind's existence is literally to be born as spirit beings into the family of God. Please turn to Revelation 5. Revelation 5, and we'll read verse 10. From the New Reserve Standard, I think that's what it is. NRSV, whatever the acronym. I think it's New Reserve Standard. Verse 10 of Revelation 5. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. This is what God planned for us from the beginning. It is our potential. And as they say about every basketball, football, soccer, game, whatever you want to say, the team that go against each other, each one of them has the opportunity to let the other one win. Everybody looks, well, no, our turn to win. No, you have before you, as Christ, as God said in Deuteronomy, I set before you this day life and death. Every team has an opportunity to win or to lose it. You don't get beaten. You lose it. We're now in the end game. We have the opportunity to win or to lose it. Seriously consider what that means for each of us. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. We have the three S's of servant leadership: supple, a willingness to change; sacrifice, the willingness to do for others with all love. There's a reason why the first one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, because everyone that comes afterward builds it. It's better than Lay's potato chips, of which you can't eat just one. You cannot serve God with one of them. You can't keep one of the Ten Commandments without getting into the rest of them. Supple, a willingness to change, a heart to change. Sacrifice, the willingness to do for others with all love. Service, the willingness to put our wants and needs aside, to realize it is not about me. It is about God and what God wants and what others need, to help others in need. This begins our earnest effort, which is, after all, as you've heard me say many times so far, and I think I'll continue saying it because it fits. This is the first day of the rest of our lives. Are we going to continue to let it slide, to let it echo, and not pick it up, and as they say at Nike, do it? The first day of the rest of our lives to develop, to become physically today, because we can do it today physically, for our spiritual tomorrow, because if we're not doing it today physically, that ain't happening. And that's a serious piece of awareness and reality. As I write constantly, reality has teeth and it bites often. The reality is, we have our time right now to develop into supple, sacrificing servant leaders.